This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates and an intuitive drag-and-drop website builder, you can get your business online today. No coding needed. Start now at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Prepping for the next debate. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It's Wednesday, September 16. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
11 Republican presidential candidates will take the stage this evening for their second debate of the primary season. We'll examine the strategy of primetime newcomer Carly Fiorina.
Mother Nature's rains bring tragedy and relief. Flash flooding in Utah has now claimed 16 lives, but rain in Northern California is helping firefighters.
In Germany, Syrian refugees have become a new business opportunity. Hear what companies are enjoying found revenue.
And how to make the most of a networking event when you're just not comfortable in that environment.
It can be something that you learn, though, and I think there's an ability to read the room as you walk in. It's a situation that makes many of us nervous, but you can learn to read those nonverbal signals and kind of figure out who's going to be most open to talk to, who might be most friendly, who might be most interesting.
Wall Street Journal writer Sue Schellenbarger on the smartest ways to network at a party. Her tips in about 20 minutes. The death toll from flash flooding along the Utah and Arizona border is now at least 16. 12 women and children were among the victims when a torrent of water Monday evening swept through a tiny community called Hilldale, Utah, largely home to a polygamous sect. Philip Barlow is the mayor of Hilldale.
We're just greatly humbled by this, but we realize that, you know, this is an act of God, and this is something that we can't control. We have to take what we receive and do the best we can.
The other four found dead were hikers in nearby Zion National Park. Three of them are missing. In the town of Hilldale, which had been drenched with heavy rains, a surge of water came roaring out of a canyon, washing away a van and SUV that were filled with those women and children who were returning from a city park. One man said the families had gathered on a road to watch the waters rise. Without warning, he said, a wall of water rushed from the canyon behind them and washed the vehicles downstream and over a 25-foot cliff. There were flash flood warnings, but the religious beliefs of some largely discouraged the use of TV or internet in that area. Washington is officially questioning Moscow about its military buildup in Syria. As part of that, Secretary of State John Kerry spoke with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and included a warning that continuous aid to the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad will only escalate the conflict there. Mr. Kerry also made it clear to his Russian counterpart that the U.S. is committed to the coalition it created to fight ISIS in the Middle East and that Assad could not be a credible member of that group. Here's White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
We continue to believe that their efforts to support Assad and continue to offer him support are destabilizing and counterproductive.
The conversation came after Russian President Vladimir Putin defended its military assistance to Assad's government and said it was impossible to defeat Islamic State terrorists without cooperating with Damascus. The military assistance includes about a half dozen battle tanks delivered in recent days. Moscow has an apparent goal of setting up an airbase near the coastal town of Latakia, a stronghold of the Syrian president. But one thing about the overwhelming numbers of refugees arriving in Germany from places like Syria and elsewhere in the Middle East, there's money to be made from the services they need. Germany is preparing for 800,000 asylum seekers just this year alone. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Anton Troyanovsky, who's with us from the Bureau in Berlin on the T-Mobile hotline. Anton, what do we have?
You've got private companies involved every step of the way. When the migrants land on Greek islands, they've got lots of small Greek shopkeepers selling to them their special discounts for cell phones tailored to the migrants. And then here in Germany, as well as in Austria, there are private companies that are actually managing these refugee camps. And one in particular we looked at called ORS Service, is actually owned by a big private equity fund out of London, whose investors include some of America's biggest pension funds, such as the California State Teachers Retirement System. So it's basically a fact of life here in Europe that these companies are involved and are profiting from this huge migration crisis. It's one, you know, some people say is necessary, a necessary response to this issue, and that in some cases also advocacy groups criticize.
Wow. All right. So the advocacy groups are saying what?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the case of the refugee camps in particular, you know, that's one of the most controversial fields where private companies are involved. And there you do have a lot of problems where the debate is, well, are the private companies responsible for that, or is it simply inescapable that you're going to have problems at these big camps? Case in point being a huge camp right outside of Vienna where as many as 4,500 people have been sheltered or put up in recent months. The camp is only made for 1,800 people, so that means thousands at some points have had to sleep outside, literally under bushes and under trees.
Wow.
And again, that's this private equity-owned company that runs the camp.
Talking with Wall Street Journal reporter Anton Troyanovsky in Berlin. He's got a piece about how in Europe, everybody from small shopkeepers to private equity finding ways to profit from the migrant flood. All right, so tell me about some of the small shopkeepers maybe and what they've had to do to respond in order to meet, I suppose, very increased demand.
Absolutely. So in Greece, you have this whole industry that's been geared toward tourism. You have hotels, you have the ferries, and you have shopkeepers that sell tourist items like blankets and souvenirs, etc. And that whole industry has been reorienting toward the refugees. So the hotel owners are now putting up the migrants. People who have been selling tourist knickknacks are now starting to sell camping gear and other stuff that the refugees need. Again, one of my favorite examples that my colleague who actually went to Greece found was people selling Vodafone cell phone SIM cards have been selling them as a special offer in combination with a 50% discount on ferry tickets to Athens, which, of course, all the migrants are using in order to get from those small Greek islands to Athens and then travel onward to Austria and Germany.
But I think you pointed out that from a business standpoint, the margins aren't necessarily great, right?
Right. So I really looked closely at this ORS company that manages refugee camps, and that's how the founder explained it to me. He said it was essentially a volume business.
Okay.
The margins, you know, are in fact small. It's only really a few dollars per person per day that you're getting from the government for this. So you need large volumes to make it worthwhile. And that's certainly what we've been seeing in the last few months.
All right. Thanks, Anton. Wall Street Journal reporter Anton Troyanovsky from Berlin. 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally, and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com.
Thanks for being with us. Good Wednesday morning. Light rain and cooler temperatures have helped firefighters in Northern California
make progress on the ruthless Valley Fire, which has burned nearly 600 homes and caused at least one death. The wildfire burning west of Sacramento was 30% contained and covered 67,000 acres as of last evening. According to the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, also known as CAL FIRE, among those helping, out-of-state firefighters like Melanie Geiger from Wyoming.
Damage is really sad. I've never really been on a fire where there's been so many structures lost.
The fire destroyed 585 homes and hundreds of other structures, mostly in Lake County. After it broke out shortly after lunchtime Saturday afternoon, Middletown was especially hard hit. The communities of Cobb and Hidden Valley Lake were also affected. Luann Just is one of those who will not be returning home.
I can't go home. No, we don't have a home to go home to.
Meanwhile, to the east of the city, the so-called Butte Fire was at nearly 72,000 acres burned and 40% contained last evening. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon Secretary of State John Kerry made another phone call to Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, seeking to clarify the intent of Moscow's military buildup in Syria and warning that continuous aid to President Bashar Assad will only escalate the Syrian conflict. State Department spokesman Josh Earnest.
The president's made quite clear that the decision of the Russians to double down on the leadership of Bashar al-Assad is a losing bet.
Kerry also told Lavrov the U.S. is committed to the coalition it created to fight ISIS in the Middle East and that Assad couldn't be a credible member of that group. Reaching for a successful end to global climate talks, Vice President Biden will call on other nations to commit to ambitious cuts in greenhouse gases at a gathering of U.S. and Chinese leaders today in Los Angeles. Biden's address to the U.S.-China Climate Leaders Summit aims to lay the groundwork for Chinese President Xi's highly anticipated visit to the White House next week. The day started out as a late-season version of a perfect Alaska excursion. Excited tourists heading out for adventure at a remote fishing spot on a river. But something went terribly wrong. A float plane crashed in southwest Alaska yesterday, killing three lodge clients from California and Pennsylvania and injuring all seven other people on board, some critically. A new scorecard is sounding the alarm on the use of antibiotics in meat and poultry served at top restaurant chains. The report, written by several public interest groups, graded 25 chains and gave failing marks to 20 of them for their antibiotic policies and lack of transparency. Only two companies, Panera and Chipotle, earned an A. Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, and Dunkin' Donuts also received passing grades. We all know about Facebook's like button, but what about a dislike button? Well, CEO Mark Zuckerberg says his company is working on that, since like isn't always appropriate for some posts. For example, a tragic news event when you want to express empathy. Zuckerberg says Facebook has veered away from making a dislike button, which could be used to vote down other people's posts. So new buttons are being tested.
I didn't realize it was that complicated.
It is. I always wondered why there was no dislike, but I can kind of see that. But then you see something awful happen and people are like, I like this. And you're like, what?
Yeah, it does. You know, and then to me, you know, like somebody posts, I lost a friend or something like that.
Yeah.
You're clicking like almost in support, not necessarily because you like what happened.
Right? Exactly. So they need maybe more options than dislike, something a lot of different things.
Okay, maybe you're right. Isn't that what emojis are for?
No, yeah, but, well.
You're right, though. You might be on it. More buttons might be needed.
Yeah.
23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Did you know that the average cost for a family of four to attend a professional baseball game is over $200? I'm Adam Kanner, founder of ScoreBig.com. We found a way to work directly with teams and venues to get their unsold seats and pass the huge savings on to you. On ScoreBig.com, when you successfully name a ticket price, on average, you'll save over 33% below box office price each time you buy, with no added fees or shipping charges ever.
And now save even more at scorebig.com. Click on the radio mic and enter code 8282, and we'll take an additional $20 off your ticket purchase. That's scorebig.com, promo code 8282.
Glad you're with us. Like the idea of a networking event to expand your business contacts, but hate the idea of trying to start up a conversation with strangers who you'd eventually like to be customers? Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger says some people enter a room of strangers and glide along from one lively conversation to another, uncovering golden new business contacts. How do they do it? Sue, what are the nonverbal cues to look for?
Well, part of it is the way people are standing. Our body language speaks volumes. If a group is in a U or a V, they seem open, there's spaces between them, it's easier to move in. People with an open stance who are standing straight, facing outward without their arms crossed in front of them or a load of drinks and snacks in their hands tend to be more open. And, of course, the eye contact and the smile are always a good signal that people would be willing to chat.
Wow. All right. The eye contact, because that can basically tell you whether you're welcome to join what might be a semi-closed group, right?
It can. If someone looks over and catches your eye and doesn't just flit past, they're not just scanning the room, nor do they fix on you in some weird way, but just the kind of friendly, maybe the eyebrows rise in a friendly sign, maybe there's a smile. And it can be a negative, too. If someone is not making eye contact, talking really loud and dominating the conversation, that person is probably really just interested in dominating and not really in forming the kind of relationships you hope for in these sessions.
All right, fair enough. All right, so what else to keep in mind here?
Well, I think it's important to not to let your anxiety take over. So many people I interviewed for this story said that networking just makes them panic almost. They want to go hide in the corner. I think you can focus more on asking questions of other people, showing curiosity about them, and they will think you're a brilliant conversationalist if you ask questions. And look open yourself. Don't carry a load of snacks and a drink. Keep your head up, your smile on your face, and be curious about others, and also think about helping them. We really want to start real relationships in these sessions, and one way to do it is to offer an introduction or a piece of information that might be helpful to someone.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger about how to network at a party. As you point out, too, you got to come prepared to chat, right? So what, be familiar with popular subjects or topics?
And really, things that almost anyone would have an opinion about, such as the stock market or the World Cup or the U.S. Open, be prepared with topics in the news, things that do genuinely interest you, not to fake it. One gentleman I talked to who's a really effective networker said that he has a list of things in mind and also some questions to ask, and it just puts him at ease. He loves walking up to a group that's a little bit bored-looking. Maybe they're kind of, you know, not having a great conversation. He loves walking in and enlivening that conversation by asking questions and bringing up an interesting topic. It can really be fun when you get good at it.
Thanks, Sue. It's Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. She writes the Work and Family column. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You do whatever it takes to make sure your business runs efficiently, but constant trips to the post office can get in the way. With Stamps.com, you'll be able to spend less time at the post office and more time growing your business. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Use your own computer and printer to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Stamps.com does all the thinking for you. The digital scale will calculate the exact postage needed and help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Join over 500,000 small businesses that use Stamps.com and never go to the post office again. Right now, use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, September 16. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Second presidential debate is tonight. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal says Donald Trump once contributed to Jimmy Carter's campaign. That Valley fire in California, now 30% contained. A group of intel analysts have provided documents that show reports about the war against ISIS were manipulated. Los Angeles, a finalist to host the 2024 Olympics. That was announced today. The House will vote on a bill to end the oil export ban. A Princeton football player announces he's gay. And recreational pot is tax-free in Colorado today. If you flip on the second Republican presidential debate tonight on CNN, you'll notice an even more crowded stage than last month. Tonight, instead of 10 candidates, there will be 11, thanks to the rise in the polls by former business executive Carly Fiorina, who made her name in the undercard debate the first time around with sharp wit, strong command of foreign policy, and a willingness to criticize Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton.
She did lie about Benghazi. She did lie about her emails. And she did lie about her server.
Wall Street Journal reporter Colleen McCain-Nelson, meanwhile, has been traveling with Ms. Fiorina and says she's poised to take on the GOP heavyweights. Colleen, what'd you find?
She's an interesting candidate to watch because a lot of voters haven't seen Carly Fiorina either in person or on TV, but she's a pretty aggressive candidate, and she's one of the few candidates who's really come out swinging both at Democrats and Republicans. She's taken aim at Hillary Clinton and said Hillary Clinton has lied about a lot of different issues. She's taken direct aim at Donald Trump, and so she's the only candidate who was in the undercard debate the first time around and now has graduated to the main stage. So this is the first chance we'll get not only to see Carly Fiorina match up with Donald Trump on the same stage, but for a lot of voters, this will be their first introduction also to Carly Fiorina.
Is it going to be tougher for her in some ways? Because instead of 10 candidates on the stage, there's now 11, so, you know, arguably even less time to speak?
Well, that's right. I mean, she was in the undercard debate the last time, and so that had even fewer candidates. That had 7 candidates, so now she'll be among 11 candidates, and it's worth noting that one of those candidates will be Donald Trump, center stage, who always takes up a lot of oxygen. So, and Carly Fiorina will be at kind of the outer edge of the stage. The last time around in the main debate, we certainly saw that some candidates were overshadowed, long periods of time passed, and we didn't hear from them. And so it will be her challenge to make herself heard, to be part of the conversation. But it seems likely that CNN will probably try to make sure that she's included in the conversation, particularly because she and Donald Trump have been sparring from afar. We've had the big kerfuffle in the last week with Donald Trump making derogatory comments about Carly Fiorina's face. Mm. And so inevitably, something about that is going to come up. We're going to see the two of them interact. She's punched back and said that Donald Trump is an entertainer and that she's a leader. And she, in her stump speech, she has a line now about how it doesn't matter how big your office is or how big your title is or how big your airplane or your helicopter or your ego is. That's not what leadership is about. And so even though she'll be on the outer edges of the stage, I think we'll be hearing from her.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Colleen McCain-Nelson. Her piece is called Carly Fiorina Prepares for the Main Stage, Wednesday night's debate in California. And as you pointed out, I think to a certain extent, there are still ratings to be had here for CNN, right?
Absolutely. And CNN has come out and said that they want this to be a debate and not just candidates each going down the line and giving one-minute answers and without any interaction. CNN has said that they are crafting their questions in such a way to draw differences between pairs of candidates or groups of candidates, and that they're going to compel candidates to interact with each other.
So she's been criticized for her time at Hewlett-Packard by some. How will she defend that Wednesday night if, say, somebody comes after her about the 30,000 layoffs?
Right. Well, she gets that question a lot on the trail. I spent the weekend with her in Hampshire going to a lot of Carly Fiorina events, and that certainly comes up, so she's well prepared for that question. She talks about being proud of her time at Hewlett-Packard and all of the progress that was made in terms of the battles that they won in defeating competitors and coming out with new products. And so she says that she did a lot of good things there. She says that she was fired in basically a boardroom brawl, and she points to a key member of the HP board who was instrumental in her firing, who now has come out and said that he supports her and that the problem was the board and not Carly Fiorina. So she has a lot of answers prepared to deal with questions related to that.
Thanks, Colleen. Colleen McCain-Nelson, Wall Street Journal reporter. Again, the debate tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern on CNN from the Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California. It's 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Don't forget, by the way, you can check us out on social media, friend us on Facebook, and then follow us on Twitter with the handle at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter with the handle at Gordon Deal.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
Thanks for being with us. Good Wednesday morning. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, many of us know too well that if you're losing your hair, there's not a lot you can do about it, though rarely do you have a well-known celebrity publicly rooting on your impending baldness. That's exactly what Larry David is doing to golf's biggest new star, Jordan Spieth. In a new interview with Golf Digest, the Seinfeld co-creator and noted golf enthusiast says of Spieth, quote, "He's going to be a bald man. He's going to be wildly bald. That makes him way more appealing to me." David also notes, "It's one thing to handle the pressure of the back nine at Augusta. Let's see how he does when he sees all that hair in the tub. That's pressure."
Wow.
Spieth responded yesterday when asked about David's comments, saying he thought it was pretty funny. And when it comes to his receding hairline, he says, "Hey, nothing I can do about it."
Nice. Good response. That's
a
good response.
Yes, yes. And you know what? He's doing okay financially these days, so he's got a lot to sort of ease the pressure off.
That's right. And according to Larry David, he's not just going to be bald, he's going to be wildly bald.
Wildly bald.
Wonder what that means.
Yeah, I think he said also in the interview that he's got a couple more years left, basically. He said, looking at his current hairline, you know, and obviously David, an expert on that, and wrote some of the funniest stuff we've ever seen on TV regarding baldness with Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. So his expert opinion is he's got a couple more years left and he's done.
I think mine retreated quickly for a period there and then seems to have kind of leveled off.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, I'm currently going through the longest recession in hairline history. Started when I was 25, and it's been like a hair a day. I mean, literally since I was 25. So I still have majority coverage at this point, but that might only be a couple more years on that.
Majority coverage.
And Gorton police say they've arrested a man days after a complaint that someone was spotted crawling under library tables and smelling a woman's feet at Florida International University. FIU police had previously released a notice warning students that a man was spotted under a table at a campus library August 29th, along with a description and a photo. Authorities say a man matching that description was spotted Tuesday on a scooter several miles from the campus. Officers attempted a traffic stop, but say the man fled on the scooter, eventually crashing, and then was arrested. The 52-year-old was charged with violation of sexual offender registration, fleeing and eluding, reckless driving, aggravated assault, and resisting without violence. That is a list of charges right there.
Yeah, and you know what? I initially thought it was funny and I was going to make fun. Then when you realize like he's a sex offender registration violator, it's not so funny anymore.
Yeah, yeah, not as much. But so if you look down at your feet when you're in the library next time.
Hey, speaking of college, by the way, I just saw this note in the New York Post. Utica College in upstate New York, dropping tuition and fees 42%. Tuition's going from like $34,400 to like $20,000.
How are they doing that? How's everybody else going to hopefully do it too?
That's not a misread, by the way. That's actual news. 14 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Harry's, quality men's shaving products for a fraction of big name brands. Go to harrys.com and enter promo code DEAL for $5 off your first order and change the way you shave forever. Want to be a political donor but don't have thousands to give? Well, the presidential campaigns are embracing a new service offered by Twitter to raise political cash, especially small donations. Twitter is partnering with Square, a company that processes payments. The program launched yesterday. It's designed to make it easier for campaigns to directly accept secure donations from Twitter users. To donate, you enter your name, debit card number, and other info on a Square website in a Twitter browser window. After the transaction is completed, your info, not surprisingly, is saved for future donations. The tool is free for candidates to use, by the way. Square charges a 1.9% processing fee for each donation. 8 minutes in front of the hour. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, in the first Republican presidential debate, most candidates took a hands-off approach to Donald Trump and hoped the brash billionaire would hurt himself. Instead, he only got stronger. Trump's unexpected durability has led some of his rivals to shift their strategy for tonight's second showdown. Now their goal is to engage Trump without inflicting any damage to their own campaigns. One candidate who may take that route is Carly Fiorina.
Of course, character matters. You know, when you think about leadership, and certainly the Oval Office requires leadership. It is about strength. It is about courage. It is about judgment. It is about temperament.
Trump will be standing center stage when the 11 candidates face off at the CNN-sponsored debate at the Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California. Four people are dead and three are missing in Zion National Park following flash flooding along the Utah-Arizona border. The group began their hike before officials closed the canyons Monday evening because of flood warnings. Just 20 miles to the south is where 16 women and children were swept away in their two vehicles. Austria is selectively stopping vehicles at three of its border crossings in an effort to impose some order over the stream of refugees and migrants entering the country. Police say the controls may be extended to 10 crossings and vehicles will be stopped for checks of travel documents. Austria says Syrians and others in danger in their home countries can continue to ask for asylum. We may be heading toward a huge shakeup in the global beer market, with SAB Miller saying it's received a takeover approach from Anheuser-Busch InBev. A combination would create a $245 billion beer giant, but would also trigger an intense antitrust review around the world. In the U.S., AB InBev and SAB Miller's Miller Coors joint venture, with Coors Brewing, control about 70% of the beer market. And just in time for the Pope's U.S. visit next week, an enormous Lego replica of the Vatican. The model, built by Father Bob Simon, has about 500,000 pieces and is on display at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia. Father Simon, a Lego lover who even attended an adult Lego convention a few years ago, says he used a book jacket and Google Earth as models for his Vatican facade.
Nicely done. 6 minutes now in front of the hour.
You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
How about this for a 50th wedding anniversary? A couple from Lake Elmo, Minnesota, reunited with a 1965 Ford Mustang they used to own. Ruth and Tim Bradle had driven it from the church on their wedding day, but nearly 30 years after he purchased the Mustang, Mr. Bradle sold it to a relative. USA Today says a decade later, one of his daughters repurchased it, but couldn't afford the Mustang's needed restoration. She sold it to a coworker who moved it first to St. Louis, then to Pittsburgh. Not long ago, daughter Michelle received an email from a former coworker that brought her to a warehouse in Pittsburgh where a broker was selling the Mustang her dad had purchased shortly before his wedding. That's where she located it, now restored in the car broker's warehouse. She bought it on the spot, shipped it to her folks in Minnesota. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally, and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com.